This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome back to our weekly Thursday Q&A with Sheikh Akram Nadwi. For those who maybe wanted to join us last week Thursday and weren't able to because we held the Q&A one day earlier, again, sincere apologies. And anyone who has any questions, please do. We're actually getting quite a few comments already, inshallah. So we can get started as soon as possible. So this live stream is platformed on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. So anyone who has any questions, please leave it in the comment of the live stream, inshallah, and we will try our best to get to it. Sheikh, we have one question actually from last week that we missed. So I'm just going to ask that and then we'll go to the questions that we've received now. This question is from Waqas and he asks, is it permissible to get life insurance and critical illness insurance as part of a mortgage? As I would not want to die in debt or leave my wife unable to pay.
Okay. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So I don't understand really how can be critical illness insurance part of the mortgage. I never heard something like that in that together. As for the life insurance or medical insurance, people actually don't allow, the ulama don't allow the life insurance, they don't allow it at all. And for the illness, they allow only in those countries where the medical facilities are not easy and people really need insurance like that to help them for their medical treatment properly. So in those countries, maybe something like that allowed. But there's no need for anybody to have life insurance. Truth really is that nobody insures anything anyway. It's all in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when people start insurance like that, it is just what we call a gharar, or you can say it is very similar to gambling, which is never allowed. And also against trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the life, people have to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask him his help. So to make always the trust in human being and the institutions is not the way of the believer. So anyway, as I mentioned, that insurance is haram generally, like usury or interest, but it only can be allowed when there is a need.
Okay, jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Let's take a question from Sister Fariha. Her question is, how should one deal with anxiety and stress thinking about the future of our kids' finances and health issues? I especially get anxious thinking about the future of my kids.
Yeah, the thing is, in this world, everything is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our lives, everything is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you did not create your children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more relation with your children than you. He loves them more than you, as he loves us more than our parents. He knows how to look after them. Sometimes your children could be much better than without you. You don't know this thing. So people should not be too much worried. Allah is the Rabb. That's what we read in all the prayers. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. He's a Rabb, and Rabb is much more than the father and mother. Much more. The father and mother cannot do what Rabb does. He looks after the people all the time. So instead of worrying too much about your children, you should worry about yourself, about your life after the death, paradise and hellfire. And also you should teach your children how to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how to be pious and righteous. That's what should be worry. If they are righteous, then Allah looks after them. The Quran says, Allah yatawalla salihin. Allah is guardian of the and helper and supporter of the righteous people. If you make your children righteous, Allah will be their supporter and guardian. So too much worry, that is a sign of lack of the iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believers should not do something like that.
Okay, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. We have a question from Salahuddin. How should we understand the verses that attribute body parts to Allah?
You know, the Quran has been revealed in human language. So it will be there. But when we interpret those words, we interpret according to what is appropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave the body part. You know, Quran says Allah hears. So we also hear. But hearing will be according to what is appropriate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows and we know, but His knowledge is, you know, different from our knowledge. The way we know is different. So, you know, Allah has power, we have power, but Allah's power is different. Similarly, if our Quran says Allah's hand or something like that, it does not mean like our hand, because Quran says very clearly, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, nothing is like Him. So the word hand has been used, and we know the meaning, but what it refers to, Allah knows the best. So we got some meaning, something, you know, but it's not like our, we always keep understanding this, that whenever you mention any attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always keep in mind one verse, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, nothing is like Him. So if Allah says hand, it means hand which is appropriate to Him. That why when Jews say that Allah's hand are tied. The Quran did not say why you call Allah's hand. Quran said that the Quran is angry that why they say tied. But Quran says, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَفْسُوطَتَانِ, Allah's both hands are wide open. You know, so He spends for. So it is not wrong to say Allah's hand. But a mistake will be to think Allah's hand is like our hand, because that's not true. Quran makes very clear, nothing is like Him.
Okay, let's take another question. Just give me one moment. Okay, the next question is, I have read some ahadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes a mistake in prayer. How does this correspond with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's infallibility?
Yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, will not commit a sin, you know, like doing zina, lying, you know, all these things, killing innocent people. He cannot do any sin, commit any sin. But to forget something, that's anybody, that he's a human being. If he does not forget, people think he's not a human being. And many of these things have been done for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to teach people. You know, the Prophet forgot and then he corrected his prayer. He did two sajdas. Now we learn how to do it. So some of these things the Prophet have been doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it to happen. So then we can learn and the future generation can learn. But the Prophet cannot do zina. It's impossible. So his companions did. His companions did zina, so people can learn what happens when people do zina. He cannot steal, but his companions stole some of them. He cannot drink wine, but his companions did. So some of those things which are impossible for the Prophet, they have been done by the companions, and then we learn from them. But mistakes is very easy thing, something simple mistake, not a sin anyway. You know, if you forget something, it is never a sin. So if the Prophet forgot, that's not a sin. That does not go against Isma, means protected from the sin. It does not mean protected from the mistake. You know, mistake can happen to anybody. That's what the sign of the human being is.
Okay, let's take a question from Junaid. Men have a specific reward in Jannah, that is Hur. Will women in Jannah have a specific reward like men?
You know, the way is, the Quran mentions, you know, things which are good to read and understand. Quran does not mention every detail, but Quran has said very clearly that in the paradise, people will get whatever they desire. So some examples have been given, some are not there. What women desire, they will get there. What men desire, they will get there. That's enough, really. That, you know, don't go so much details. If you get what you desire, why you want to impose on the women what they don't desire? Maybe the women don't want, you know, more than one husband. We don't know what will they desire there. So for the everybody is whatever they desire. You know, if they desire something, they'll get it. You know, Allah has promised and His promise is true. So we don't mention more than what Allah has mentioned, but we understand really that in paradise everybody will be happy and pleased. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask people in paradise one day, are you happy? So they say, yeah, oh our Lord, why will not be happy? You have given us everything that we wanted. More than that, whatever we desire, it is more than that. Then he will say, you know, today I'm going to make clear that I'm happy with you and I will never be angry. So people will be so happy. So in paradise, people get everything.
Okay, let's take a question from Amina. Sorry, Sheikh, is there an echo? Can you hear my voice like multiple times?
Yeah.
Okay, no, there's an echo for me. That's fine. Her question is, can you discuss if it is permissible to do baby showers, gender reveal parties, and for fathers to cut their umbilical cord at the birth, or is this classed as imitating other nations?
You know, some of the things have been, you know, coming from the regeneration, so that's fine. Like, for example, when a child is born, then, you know, you have aqiqah, you know, so some people think it's sunnah and some people think not sunnah, but it's allowed to where people slaughter sheep and make feast for the children. So that's fine. You know, more than that, actually, you know, we don't have any clear evidence for that. So people should not make unnecessary parties. Maybe you can give some charity that, you know, for sadaqah, for your children, for any occasions, that's better. But any other celebration, we don't have any proof for that.
Okay, let's take the next question. There are so many differences of opinions in the religious matters. If I follow one opinion and if it is not right in the eyes of Allah, will He punish us?
You know, when there's difference of the opinion, then all of them are right. You know, the main thing that you fear Allah, you love Him, you want to go to paradise, you want to, you know, seek refuge to Allah from hellfire. You know, these are the main things. Don't cheat anybody, don't lie, don't backbite, don't hurt anybody. Worship your Lord, you know, love Him. Then after that, when you pray, you know, if you follow this madhab or that madhab, none of them are mistake. All right, all want to help your prayer with the khushu. All the madhab want same thing. But same thing when you want, people come different opinion. Like if we want to go to the mosque, so I walk this way, you go that way. As long as we get the prayer in jama'ah, it's all fine. You know, it could be different routes. Maybe somebody 1 minute delayed, somebody 2 minutes delayed. But as long as they get the prayer, you know, all are fine. So don't worry about the madhahib and opinions. These opinions happen all the time in the human being. Same thing like that, you know, in your house, you make food, your wife makes food, your children make, your cousins, your aunties make food. And everybody has something different when cooking. But still, it's halal. You can eat. You know, sometimes you eat what your mom made, sometimes you eat what your father made, sometimes you eat what your auntie made, sometimes you buy food from the shops and you eat. All different, but all halal. So similarly, all the difference among the ulama, though they are different, but still they are same, because they same help to reach to the same destination, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't worry about these differences. They have nothing. They're very, very small thing, very minor.
Okay, we have a question from Moinuddin. Will Christians and Jews enter Jannah if they follow the authentic teachings of their religion?
The thing is, you know, whenever a prophet comes, a messenger comes, it becomes obligatory on the people to follow him and to surrender to him. That is what Allah has taught in Surah Al Imran, Ali Salam, submission to the prophet. People must submit to Allah according to the teachings of new prophet. Because, you know, the old teachings, either they're corrupted, you know, or they are not no more authentic, acceptable. So after Quran, there's no other religion, nothing is there. People must accept the Quran. But it could be possible there are some Christians and Jews who did not hear about the Quran. They don't know about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or Muslims are not able to reach to them. It could be possible that, you know, there are people who never heard about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they were never had time to understand him. So if these people, if they worship Allah alone, they don't do shirk especially, so we hope Allah will forgive them. We don't know, Allah is a judge. but it could be possible. But as for those people who have access to Islam and access to the Quran and they can know about the Prophet ﷺ, there's no way other than accepting him. And that's why the Quran says, "Inna Deena and Allah al-Islam." Deen is that people must surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the teachings of the prophets and messengers. And rejecting any prophet is rejecting all of them. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be accepted. Same like Muslims. If Muslims reject Isa alayhi salam or Musa alayhi salam and they accept Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will not be Muslim. Okay, Islam is to accept all the prophets and all the messengers. So that keep in mind. Except the people who really don't have any access to the Prophet. They don't know anything. Like, you know, could be somebody grown up in a forest far away, never heard about any Prophet, any messenger. The people like that, at least if they don't do shirk, so there is a likely that they can be forgiven.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. The next question is quite interesting. Is forgiveness conditional? And I'm assuming the questioner is saying forgiveness from Allah.
What condition means when Allah not forgives, he forgives everything, but he forgives only past. What is coming in the future, that you have to repent again if you do mistakes. There are believers always need to repent and ask forgiveness, but when he forgives, you know, things forgive, you know, finish. There are minor sins and major sins. Minor sins are forgiven sometime without asking the forgiveness, just you go for the prayer, you do wudu, they're forgiven. Major sins, you need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him to forgive you. So then he forgives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive anytime, but the way in Islam is that you ask him to forgive. And your humility is very, very important. Similarly, forgiveness of the people, if somebody forgives you, then yeah, that sin has finished from you and you are not responsible for that. The forgiveness means it removed from you, it's no more there.
Okay, let's take a question from Anika. If a woman lives in a society where the majority of the people wear colorful clothes, can she wear jilbabs of colors like green, blue, yellow, or pink, as long as those jilbabs do not have too much designs and are simple?
Yeah, you know, it is not different from the people and attract people. Yeah, that's fine. You know, it means it should be something humble and simple. And women don't have desire to attract the men through their colors. So if the jilbab is something which nobody has attracted, and the women don't have desire to attract, then fine. But if the woman has desire that, you know, my jilbab will look, become attractive, so men look at me, then she will get sin.
Okay, we have a question from Omar. The hadith about sitting after Fajr prayer in the masjid doing zikr and praying two rak'ah after sunrise gives the reward of Hajj and Umrah. Is this a reliable hadith?
Yeah, no, actually the hadith, this hadith that, you know, people sit and two rak'ah after, is there nothing really sound about that? What is sound? It could be possible that Imam Taymiyyah said that this two rak'ah which people do and they get so much reward, it more likely is two rak'ah of the Fajr that people do, because this reward is not for anything else. There's no sound hadith in this matter. I think it could be all the reward that people make a new prayer, Ishraq or something like that. This Ishraq prayer does not exist. The companions never did. There's no sound hadith about that. Nothing actually. All the rewards that mentioned for Ishraq prayer, they actually are rewards for the Fajr prayer.
Okay, let's take a question from Faisal. My mum passed away from cancer quite recently. My mum may have missed some prayers while she was conscious but ill, as she was on oxygen because she had difficulty in breathing. Would we need to give anything to compensate? Also, could you enlighten us what we can do for our deceased mother?
Yeah, you know, it's very, very important that when somebody dies, you think for them, you know, don't forget them. So you have to always, you know, make dua. Most important to make dua, oh Allah, forgive them, give them paradise, and also some charity, some sadaqah. And if they have missed some prayers or fasts, there's a way to compensate that. So for every prayer, you need to give money equal to Sadaqatul Fitr. If you can give from your mom's wealth, that's fine. She did not leave anything. Then from your own wealth, for every prayer, one prayer, like Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, what is equal to one Sadaqatul Fitr? That I don't know exactly what is now, but it could be something like £5. So if you give £5 for every prayer, if she has missed some fast that you do, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we hope we forgive. Besides that, you know, always in the prayers, every time you think your mother, make her dua for her, and whatever charity you can give, you know, give for her. So these things will be helpful for her. Everybody should do this thing, that, you know, nobody can stop you from dua. And this dua is the most important thing that people can do for you know, people who have passed away. And also sadaqah, dua and sadaqah.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. We've got another question from Moin Odin. I hear some relatives and other people saying statements like shukran, alhamdulillah, and ya Rasulullah. Are these okay to say, and are they linguistically correct?
You know, if somebody does something good to you, you can say shukran laka, jazakallahu khair. Shukran means may Allah reward you. You can say shukran laka, shukran laki, shukran lakum, may Allah reward you. You can say jazakumullahu khairan. But you don't say alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, you say when you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something that, you know, you remember his favor. So you say alhamdulillah, but not to the people. To the people, you say jazakallahu khairan, jazakumullahu khairan, or shukran lakum, something. There's no point to say here, ya Rasulullah, ya Rasulullah. You can do on your own, Allah, sallallahu alayhi ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi ya Nabi Allah. You know, you want to make a dua, a salat, you can say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ala Muhammad. The salat and the prophet is different thing, nothing to do with the shukr and hamd. The shukr is for the people. When people do something good, you can say shukr al-laka, or you can say jazakallahu khair, that's the best shukr. When you thank Allah, then you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillah. But when you say Salat and the Prophet, then you can say Ya Rasulullah. But you don't need to say Ya Rasulullah, because you can say the third person, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, and that is the most popular and most famous dua of the Salat and the Prophet that has come in the authentic hadith.
Let's take a question from Mahreen. Is taking help from classmates during exams permissible, or is this considered cheating or copying?
What means help? If you ask your classmate to give a glass of water, that's fine. You know, something like that. You don't have pen. You can ask the person to give you a pen. You can borrow something like that. So there's no harm to have a help like that. But to help to answer the question, that everybody knows is cheating. I don't understand really. Is there anybody in the world who does not know the answer to this? You know, if you ask help to the answering the question, ask yourself, ask the examiners, ask the people who supervise you, ask them what do they mean. Everybody says it's cheating. You know, help means like you ask, you don't have pen, you ask pen. You didn't have food, you ask food or water or something else. That, you know, you didn't have a jumper, you feel cold. You ask somebody to help you to give jumper, but you don't know the answer of the question, and you ask somebody to help you in the answer, and you think it is help. It is certainly cheating. I don't really think, understand how somebody can ever ask a question like that. You know, it is something you should ask yourself. And if people don't understand something like that, this is very dangerous, really. Because Allah has given you mind. He's going to ask you. You can't say in the day of judgment, I didn't have a mufti, and nobody answered me the question. Allah will say, did you know this answer to this question? Don't you have mind? You can't think. So there are many, many questions so obvious. I don't know really why people come for obvious things to a teacher or to a mufti. Because at the end of the day, it is your mind, your reason. You are, even if mufti say, if I say to you, this help is allowed, and you follow me, you'll be sinful. I'll be sinful because I gave wrong fatwa, and you'll be sinful because you followed me. Because your mind will say it is wrong. So, you know, if Mufti said haram is halal, his answer, you know, will not make it halal. Understand properly. So ask yourself.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. We have a question from I'm assuming Muhammad, Shamim, Islam. How can I come back from sin?
You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what Quran keeps mentioning all the time. You just repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Repent, and repentance means that you ask Him to forgive you and you determine that you not to do it again, never do again. That's what you need to think. But sometimes could happen that you break your intention and then you commit sin again. Then again do the same tawbah. So, you know, you think that you live a life and you never commit a sin. So that's not going to happen. That's never going to happen. You will commit sin. But you know how to, you know, repent. So repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask His help. And we hope that He will forgive, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah. We had one question that I seem to have lost, but I do remember the question, so hopefully I can ask it. The sister was asking if she has not paid zakat in like a few years, and she now wants to make up for missing it, but she doesn't know the exact amount. What should she do to make up for this? Is repenting enough?
No, repenting not enough. You should repent anyway because you delayed, but you have to find out really what was your wealth, you know, estimate, you know, think, you know, deeper, and then pay more than that, and then ask Allah to forgive you. But you need to do something because those zakat of those years are not forgiven. They're obligatory upon you. You must do it. So try to remember and estimate, and, you know, if you make your best effort, Allah will forgive you because, you know, you have made your best effort. So repentance is important because you delayed. But at the same time, you must make effort to find out what was the amount and pay more than that.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. We have a question from Osama. What does the term kufr refer to in the Quran? Does it mean knowingly rejecting the truth?
Yeah, kufr. Actually, kufr in Arabic language simply means a cover. You know, cover and kufr is from the same root in English. English cover and Arabic kufr, it all same root. It means just covering something, you know, to hiding something. So kufr basically means that to hide the favors. Allah has done all the favor and you don't refer the favors to Him. You think it all from you and you don't even want to acknowledge Him. That's the kufr. But the kufr that is actually, you know, criticized in the Quran is when people intentionally, you know, unbelieve in God, Allah, they say, no, we don't know He is, or don't, they do shirk. That is, you know, that what people come kuffar. So that why the messengers have come to save people from, you know, that type of the kufr. So, you know, when people intentionally, knowingly, they reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they unbelieve in Him, you know, that is very, very dangerous. But any hiding of the favor is a kufr. You know, it could be something hiding the favor of your wife, hiding the favor of your friend. That's also kufr. But the real kufr is when people unbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, we'll take one last question. The question's worded a bit strangely, but I'm assuming it is, did the early Hanafi and Malikis distinguish between Hadith and Sunnah?
You know, it had nothing to do with Hanafis and Malikis. Everybody knows that what Sunnah is, what Hadith is. Sunnah is a practice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and, you know, whatever concept of the religion. Hadith is then reporting. Hadith means whatever has been reported from the Prophet or from anybody. That's Hadith of that person. So Hadith like talk, khabar, speech, information. Hadith could be Sunnah. Hadith could not be Sunnah. Like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born on Monday. It's not a Sunnah that you should be born on Monday. Everybody now make effort to be born on Monday. It's not Sunnah, but it's a Hadith, a report that has come. But Sunnah also can be report. Like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to fast on Monday. So now somebody reports to you that the Prophet used to fast on Monday. That's Sunnah as well, and also report because it has been reported to you. It is Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when people of the Hanafi, Maliki, or early generation say Sunnah, what they mean is, you know, the practice, what has been acted upon by the people from generation to the generation, that not just mere report by someone. So if they have seen their teachers and their people of their city following a sunnah, following a practice, that to them is more important than a single report of someone about that matter. So there are sunnah, like sunnah means path, tariqah, you know, you follow the path. There's sunnah. I have written a book, you know, Tamhid al-Ulum al-Hadith, in Arabic. It's been published, and also it has been, it's an English translation has been published by As-Salam Institute. It is available, I think, online or everywhere. So you can buy that. That has got all the discussion about the sunnah and hadith, differences. So that will be helpful for you to understand both concepts.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. For anyone interested in the book, you just go on to slm.ac.uk and there will be a link to our bookstore, and you can see all of the books that Sheikh Akram has published that we sell. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for your time. I know we have something else coming up, so we'll leave you to inshallah. Jazakallah khair and everyone else for joining us. Apologies again. I know there were some questions that weren't answered. Sometimes the questions are worded a bit strangely and I need to read them before reading them to Sheikh. But please keep your questions for next week, inshallah. Please don't keep them too long so Sheikh can answer them during the half an hour Q&A. Sheikh does have a short course coming up that's starting this weekend. This short course is a detailed study of Bukhari and Tirmidhi. It's starting this Sunday and it's a 10-day course. This course is a must for all students of knowledge looking to further their understanding of the hadith sciences. And Sheikh Akram is one of the best people in the world, I'd say, to study under when it comes to hadith sciences. So anyone interested, please go on to slm.ac.uk. There'll be a link to the course. It should be on the header somewhere. If not, please go onto our Facebook, onto our Instagram, Twitter, all of the social medias apart from TikTok. We'll join you next week, inshallah, same day, same time. Assalamu alaikum.